have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, and in for the vacationing and Northrop is...
I'm Rob Schuster. Thanks for having me back. It's good to see you all.
Good to see you, too. Let's get to the headlines. There's so much news. President Biden this week awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to LGBTQ allies Judy Shepard, Phil Donahue, and Nancy Pelosi, and out astrophysicist Jane Rigby.
I love it. So U.S. House... Republicans are working to defund all nonprofits to end federal funding to LGBTQ ones.
And 50 states, these are Republican attorneys general, are now suing Biden to block rules protecting trans students.
Anti-LGBTQ bills have advanced in Alabama and Tennessee, but surprisingly, not in Mississippi.
What? We're Here, about drag queens liberating small towns, is back for a fourth season on HBO, and there's a political angle to it always.
And we have a breakthrough in Texas politics. We'll have that.
And then we talked about how the United Methodist Church made some progress last week. Well, this week they affirmed that the practice of homosexuality is no longer incompatible.
It's a big step. It's a big step. Brittany Griner did her very first interview, too, speaking out to ABC.
Yeah, ABC and others. Belfast, Ireland has its first out gay mayor.
Huh. And the mayor of Paris stands up for famous drag queen carrying the Olympic torch this summer.
Kenya's high court rules it's not okay to call for the murder of gay people.
And a new biopic about gay artist Leonardo da Vinci is set to be directed by Andrew Hay.
And we'll have the LGBTQ highlights from the Met Gala. But let's start with the Presidential Medals of Freedom awarded to 19 Americans this week, including such allies as our old friend Phil Donahue. We have a picture of him there. He's looking a little frail, but he was there with his famous hair. And, of course, such an ally on gay and AIDS issue on his talk show in the 70s and 80s and beyond, including one with our own Ann Northrup. And also honored was Jane Rigby, a civil servant astrophysicist at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, where she's the senior project scientist of the James Webb Telescope. She's a founding member of the American Astronomical Society LGBTQ Equality Working Group. And we have video of probably the most prominent in terms of our community, Judy Shepard, who was of course, the mother of Matthew Shepard and the founder of the Trevor Project.
For some of you today, I know personal experience that you wish you'd never had to be in an event like this one without a piece of your soul having been gone. Judy Shepard, it's been 25 years, Judy, since we last spoke of your beloved Matthew. Your husband Dennis is here today as well. The brutal murder of your son galvanized the movement into a law in his name to protect LGBTQ Americans. Your relentless advocacy is a reminder that we must give hate no safe harbor, and that we can turn it into purpose, and that pain you fall into significant purpose. You've done just that. Thank you.
Judy Shepard. Judy Shepard took a mother's most profound pain and turned her son's memory into a movement. Matthew Shepard's brutal death 25 years ago shocked the conscience of our nation and galvanized millions of Americans to stand against anti-LGBTQI+ hate. Together with her husband, Dennis, their courageous advocacy has since driven tremendous progress in our laws and culture, giving young people and their families strength and hope for the future. The Shepherd family's compassion reflects the best of America, where everyone is equally deserving of dignity and respect.
Okay, congratulations to Judy Shepherd, and it was a really great group of people. And I don't think we're going to see that if we lose the election.
The truth. It was great to see this group together. Judy Shepherd, congratulations.
So how about those congressional Republicans? How much they hate us. They're so hell-bent on defunding LGBTQ nonprofits that they banned all nonprofits from getting funded from the Economic Development Initiative, part of the annual Housing and Transportation Appropriations Bill. It's a ban spearheaded by Tom Cole of Oklahoma, who worries about his Republican members having political problems because they voted for a bill that aid these services. The ranking Democrat said these extremists are wrong to hurt their own religious organizations, seniors, veterans, in order to root out help for the LGBTQ community. She doesn't think it's going to work, but you know, half the funding in this bill was for nonprofits, and now they're taking it all out. They're trying to.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to go through, but you're right. They would rather get rid of everything than fund LGBTQ charities here. Shocking development, although at this point, I'm not sure the far right can shock us anymore.
No. So let's talk about all the people suing the Biden administration.
Yes, so 15 Republican states have now sued the Biden's new transgender protection. So just yesterday it was 5, now it is 15. New regulation prohibits schools from implementing policies that bar transgender students and teachers from using restrooms consistent with their gender identities. Now, some Republican states, 15 in total now, have refused to enforce this and are now taking legal action, most notably a Texas attorney, Ken Paxton, no stranger to this show, has taken a more aggressive stance, filing a lawsuit against the Biden administration in an attempt to block enforcement of the rules.
Of course, he filed it with that judge in North Texas, Kaczmarek, who, of course, is going to rule in his favor. He's the only judge of the district. He's the one who ruled against the abortion bill. And, of course, what the Republicans are saying, well, the Bostock decision of the Supreme Court said you can't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity based on Title VII. This is Title IX, and you can't apply this. It's illegal to apply this. And that's just not true. So, anyway, let's go to Kansas. We told you that Democratic Governor Laura Kelly's veto of the bill denying gender-affirming care to trans people was overridden by the state Senate 27-13, but the bill died in the state House when two Republicans, with a picture of them, voted with all Democrats against the ban, even though they'd previously voted in favor of the bill. So that's Representative Susan Concannon and Representative Jesse Borgen. And we have some video of Representative Concannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We hear of bullying and ask authorities to make it stop. We hear about mental health, about suicide, and ask why. We're not listening to the impacted youth. Government involvement is not the answer. I voted for this bill in the past due to concerns about the surgery. With further consideration, this bill is vague beyond the surgery. These decisions belong between the team of professionals and the parents. The youth need our help, not government overreach. To all who have reached out, I hear you and vote to sustain the governor's veto.
Some Republicans are turning on these issues, which is, you know, encouraging.
Some are. There's a Texas superintendent who has resigned after a trans student was removed from a local production of Oklahoma. So a superintendent of a Texas school district has voluntarily resigned following a controversy over removing and then reinstating a transgender student in the high school production of Oklahoma. The Sherman Independent School Board of Trustees has unanimously accepted Tyson's Bennett's resignation. So after an outcry about this trans student being removed from the school production, they have backed down and now the superintendent has resigned.
Well, the superintendent had said, oh no, what role you play has to align with your sex at birth. I mean, we don't do that in the theater. Go see Suffs, you know, or whatever, or so many shows, or whatever. Anyway, and look, these are serious issues. You know, much is being made of a Trevor Project survey that came out this week of 18,000 LGBTQ young people, 13 to 24. And the headline is that 39% of them have seriously considered taking their own lives in the past year, including 46% of trans and non-binary youth, and that the rates are much higher among youth of color. 12% of these youth report having survived an attempt on their own lives this year. Half of them, 13 to 17, experienced bullying in the past year, and many more have had their mental health negatively affected by politics. 90%. Well, of course, that applies to all of us these days, being negatively affected in our mental health by politics. But, you know, I just want to say this because, you know, I used to work at Hedrick Martin Institute with Anne, and we quoted suicide statistics for kids, and it's sobering. But this survey also asked them to say, talk about their resilience. What advice do you have for your fellow LGBTQ youth? And they said things like, you need to know you're not alone. There's a whole wide world with people like you and me. Be the role model you always needed and keep going. You are strong for existing, and the greatest act of rebellion is living authentically and truthfully. Find spaces where you can be yourself unapologetically. It sounds like a book that Rob Shooter would write.
I'll take that as an endorsement. This is a really interesting study, a shocking study. People are really talking about it. These suicide rates are so high. Andy, has it changed since when you worked there? Is it gone up? Has it gone down?
Well, you know, I think it stayed about the same. You know, the issue is in the old days, you know, gay kids were more isolated, but there was a lot less public discussion of homosexuality and certainly transgender in those days. And now it's just all over the news, and you have these right-wing assaults constantly. And of course, you know, the other thing that used to happen in the old days was, look, I'm 70 years old. We could go through a period of denial where we weren't constantly being asked if we were gay or, you know, it wasn't, you know, and you could hide for a while or even deny who you were to yourself. Mm. And that kind of prevented some negative things. But these days, kids figure out who they are when they're 10 years old. And then if they're living in hostile territory, it's rough.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't just figure out who they are. They figure out who everybody else is. And some people think social media has helped these kids connect, people that are in areas where they might feel isolated. But the other side of that story, too, is social media has probably aggravated all the abuse and the bullying out there. So it's a tough one.
Okay. All right. Colorado, by the way, is working to get their state constitutional ban on same-sex marriage that they passed in the 1990s repealed in the Constitution. And, you know, in case SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, overturns the Obergefell decision. Constitutional amendment requires supermajorities in both houses of the state legislature. And it got that in the House. It needs at least one Republican in the Senate before it can go to the ballot, where then it's going to need 55% approval. Bad deeds are hard to undo.
Mm-mm. Top New York officials are asking Best Buy about their commitment to LGBTQ groups after conservative pressure. So the New York State Comptroller has raised concerns with Best Buy regarding potential changes to the company's commitment to inclusivity. In response to the controller's inquiry, a spokesperson for Best Buy has stated that the company's standard procedure is to listen to their shareholders' concerns. Not the response we wanted, but a lot of these shareholders with conservative beliefs are pressuring Best Buy to change those policies.
Well, that state controller is Tom DiNapoli. In Texas, we had a breakthrough victory out. Molly Cook won a special election for the state Senate. She's the first out member of that body in Texas history. She's a sixth-generation Texan from the Houston area, a registered nurse with a master's in public health policy. She's also in a runoff on May 28th for the nomination for a full term at the Senate. And then I think we should also mention, we mentioned Evan Lowe, who was going to be in a three-way runoff for a U.S. House seat from the Bay, you know, from the Silicon Valley. Well, they had a recount, and now it's only going to be a two-way race between Evan Lowe. We have a picture of him there, and San Jose Mayor Sam Liccardo, who apparently is favored, but you know, but Evan Lowe got into the runoff by 5 votes. Okay.
Every vote counts, Andy. Every vote counts. So Mississippi lawmakers have quietly killed a bill to restrict legal recognition for trans people. So the Mississippi Republican-controlled legislature has opted not to proceed with final votes for 2 bills aimed at limiting legal recognition to transgender individuals. Both bills quietly expired after the House and Senate leaders could not reach a consensus. One of the bills was to impose restrictions on transgender individuals' access to bathrooms. The other bill was aimed to define sex as determined at birth. So surprisingly, this has quietly been killed.
Wonders never cease. Maybe they're getting tired of hitting us. In Utah, they're now cracking down on schools that are not enforcing the new law that you can only use restrooms and changing rooms aligned with the sex you were assigned at birth, with fines of $10,000 a day for not complying. So some classrooms are holding education sessions with the kids about, you know, what this means and how it affects their families. A Salt Lake City fifth grader who uses he, they pronouns said he feels loved by his classmates, and he doesn't understand why the government, cares about the restroom he uses. It hurts me. But this is a trans teacher, Bree Taylor Loff, L-O-F, left the school in tears after having to brief the fifth graders on what it meant. The kids gave her handwritten notes of support and hugs on the way out.
Kids doing the right thing. So the Alabama lawmakers have advanced the bill to ban pride flags in the classroom. So Alabama lawmakers have passed a bill, they did it on Wednesday, which seeks to prohibit teachers from displaying pride flags on public school premises. The bill is part of a broader trend of legislation that we've seen, we've reported about on this show, characterized as the Don't Say Gay laws. Andy, this is not going away. If anything, it is picking up steam.
Well, but also in Alabama, a beloved principal, Lauren Dressback, I don't have a picture of her, but at Yeseva Hills Elementary, Cahaba Heights School, showed a colleague a photo of her getting a kiss, you know, from her girlfriend, for which she was put on administrative leave, and she hasn't been seen in the school since. She was once the teacher of the year. She came out in 2023, and she got support from the district superintendent. But sources say she's been contacted by the EEOC, federal, to take action, and she's retained a lawyer. Her contract has a morality clause, but a kiss is just a kiss.
This is just a kiss. Tennessee lawmakers have okayed a bill penalizing adults who help minors receive gender-affirming care. So Tennessee's GOP-controlled statehouse has passed legislation which penalizes adults who assist minors in obtaining gender-affirming care without their parental consent. the bill closely resembles language that we've seen in anti-abortion proposals that have been passed by lawmakers in Tennessee. Governor Lee has previously approved sweeping abortion bans and restrictions on gender-affirming care without parental consent.
It's very chilling. And let me tell you where all this hate leads. In Arkansas, in Little Rock, which I just got back from a week and a half ago, the Trans Community Center was vandalized for the fifth time this year. Vandals keep ripping out the pipes around the building and around the complex, causing flooding and stopping the intransitive community center from functioning. Little Rock police are more concerned whether they keep asking, got any kids in there? You know, they're more concerned whether there are any children than apprehending the vandals. Well, shame on the Little Rock police. And of course, you know, they better start installing cameras if they've been vandalized five times.
Yeah, and they said they just can't afford to have this to continue. They won't be able to open the facility without pipes, without infrastructure. And so this is now a financial problem too, because these vandals are inflicting thousands of dollars of damage, which ultimately somebody has to pay for. And Albuquerque school staff are on leave after a drag show was performed at prom. So Albuquerque Public Schools have appointed an acting principal as it conducts an investigation into the performance of a drag queen at the prom. So this performance was posted on Facebook April 24. The school's Facebook page received an influx of comments questioning how appropriate this was. Now the chief of the schools has issued a letter to families acknowledging their concerns about this drag show and also to saying they will be investigating the performance.
Okay. Let's give them a good story. Now, we started the story of the United Methodist Church. They've had their general conference there in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we have much more about it this week. You know, they lifted a 40-year-old ban this week on self-avowed practicing homosexuals from being ordained or appointed as ministers. That vote was 692 to 51. Now, of course, lots of the anti-gay congregations have left, you know, a quarter of the ones in the United States. You know, the vote does not mandate gay clergy, but it allows it. The change is mainly going to affect the U.S. church. Clergy can no longer be penalized for performing a same-sex wedding, nor are they required to. But here's the thing that happened late. The same-sex, the delegates also voted to delete the teaching that the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching, and another that says marriage is only between a man and a woman, changing that to two people of faith.
It's a massive, massive change after 40, 50 years. I'm not sure I believe the day would come. I'm thrilled that it has. But I think a very important point that you raise, Andy, is a lot of the bigots, a lot of people who would be against this have already left. And so the church is getting smaller and smaller and more inclusive. But in the process, too, a lot of the people that don't agree with this have already left.
Let's go to Georgia. Also, I would say an encouraging story against a negative thing. At Georgia Southern University in Statesboro, Georgia, the school has been removing gay symbols and shuttering services for LGBTQ students, and they responded with a protest.
Good.
University officials tell me that they're reworking their policies to align with university system guidelines. The people I spoke with today tell me that they feel like their university is trying to erase them.
We're here because we feel that we are being silenced.
Georgia Southern students outraged after they say the university removed LGBT signage from campus.
The ultimate fear is that if these services are taken down and not displayed, then people are going to stop accessing them, and that's going to ultimately be used as a way to cut funding to these resources that are really desperately needed.
The university also put an end to safe space training, which would normally help students identify faculty or staff that they could talk to about their LGBT identity. University officials tell me there are no services that have stopped, but they don't count safe space as a service.
I've always thought that I could just go around Statesboro and campus and just be me. And now I'm not like 100% sure that's the case.
Students staged a sit-in at the university's common building. The students read a list of demands, the first of which is a public apology. Next, they want all of the previously available information and signage to reappear by the end of the week.
It does ultimately kill people, right? Like the inability to talk about the issues that we have, the inability to talk about the services that we need, like healthcare or mental health care or whatever the case may be, keeps people alive.
By the fall semester, they want safe spaces back, and they want a diverse task force to review university policies. Georgia Southern officials say this is all because of university system policies. A revision made last July says no training may include affirmations, ideological tests, or oaths. I spoke to Georgia Southern's Associate Vice President of Inclusive Excellence. He says they're going to work over the summer to try and redevelop these safe space trainings, but there is no official date on when this will be complete. In Statesboro, I'm Eden Hodges, WSAB News 3, on your side.
And great to see the kids fighting. You know, the Williams Institute, which does a lot of data on our community, reports that half of LGBTQ college faculty surveyed have considered moving to another state because of these anti-DEI laws. Three quarters say the current environment has taken a toll on their mental health. 20% have already moved, and 36% are considering leaving academia entirely.
Wow. Wow. I love this story. So a legendary San Francisco bar, The Stud, has reopened at a new location. So after 4 years of hiatus, it's been gone for 4 years, the San Francisco legendary bar has reopened at a new location. The closing came with the pandemic. So it's been shut since 2020. Patrons, people who support the bar have been trying really hard to raise funds to facilitate its opening. They finally raised enough money, and excitement about the Stud's reopening was evident, with patrons, long lines of them lined up down the street to enter the new establishment. Welcome
and
back.
In New York, Republicans are trying to shut down the Equal Rights Amendment, which we're going to be voting on in New York on the ballot. You know, it failed in New York in the 1970s. They had ERA on the ballot and it went down. So they got a new one, which also covers sexual orientation and gender identity and reproductive rights. So Republicans like Lee Zeldin, who ran for governor, are up there in Albany, you know, inveighing against this and says it's going to imperil girls in sports, and it's going to take parents' rights away. And this is the way they're going to fight this battle at the ballot box this fall.
Wow. Wow. Aetna has agreed to settle a lawsuit over fertility coverage for LGBTQ customers. So Aetna has reached a settlement in a lawsuit alleging discrimination against LGBTQ customers seeking fertility treatments. As part of the settlement, Aetna will now cover such things as artificial insemination, standard now for all customers nationwide. Nearly 19 million people will be impacted by this settlement. Also, too, Aetna has been forced to set up a $2 million fund to reimburse individuals who have been denied artificial insemination. This settlement marks a significant step forward, ensuring equitable access to fertility treatments for all.
Who says we don't give you good news on this show? Now, let's talk about Brittany Griner. It's good news that she's back, but her book is out, Coming Home, where she opens up about her horrible experiences as a prisoner in Russia at hard labor. So she's doing interviews all over the place with Robin Roberts on ABC last week. She says she considered taking her own life in prison. But what saved her was a couple of things. A cellmate who spoke English and to translate for her. And I'm just going to say it, being able to read the Bible, even though she's not religious, her wife, Sherelle, is. And Brittany found inspirational passages of the Psalms, in God I trust and I'm not afraid, that kind of stuff. And this after enduring constant cold, inedible food, harassment, having to relieve herself in a hole in the ground, sleeping on a prison bed too short for her 6'9" frame. She fell out of shape, took up smoking, and is only now coming back into her old fit self. But the book goes into her whole life story.
Yeah. And I think it's worth remembering she was there for almost 10 months. Almost 10 months she endured this. It was a really long period of time. It's great to see her back. The book's out now. You can order it wherever you get good books.
And I just want to say that apropos of this, not trying to jump ahead to international news, but in Russia, Putin is now recruiting more and more women to go to the front in his war on Ukraine, many of them being drawn from prisons. And they offer them $2,000 a month, the equivalent, which is 10 times the minimum wage in Russia. You know, Russia's lost, there have been 500,000 Russian casualties in this war, 150,000 deaths, according to the French. So, you know, and Putin up to this point had been urging women to just have 8 children to replacing all the people that they've lost. But he needs cannon fodder, even if it means a pause in his push for traditional values.
The EEOC says workplace bias laws now cover bathrooms, pronouns, and abortion. So the Equity Employment Opportunity Commission, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has declared that employers who refuse to use transgender workers' preferred pronouns and prevent them from using bathrooms that align with their gender identity are engaging in unlawful workplace harassment. The EEOC hasn't updated their guidance on harassment for almost 25 years. So this is a big step forward. We should point out too, though, that while the guidance is not legally binding, it does serve as a framework to enforce anti-bias laws. Fingers crossed.
Now, in the transgender community, we know that there's a handful of people who detransition. They do it and they want to go back. Well, one of them was ordered to pay $40,000 in attorney fees, and a judge dismissed her lawsuit against her former doctors who provided hormone therapy. Her name is Soren Aldaco, 21. She had charged them with malpractice in Texas and said she was coerced into coming out as trans, including having a double mastectomy at 19, ignoring what she said were her significant mental health issues. And she still has a pending suit relative to her surgery, but she lost the first round of this case.
Minnesota legislators are considering a constitutional amendment to protect abortion and LGBTQ rights. The Minnesota Democrats have proposed a comprehensive legislation to enshrine abortion and LGBTQ rights into the state's constitution. If approved by lawmakers and subsequently endorsed by voters on the 2026 ballot, the proposed legislation would establish some of the broadest protections for abortion and LGBTQ rights nationwide. So the most protections may be coming to Minnesota.
Well, no one's fighting harder to turn this country around in the red states than the cast of We're Here, the drag queens who go into these small towns. We're into season 4 and turn me on to this. They try to bring enlightenment. They went to Tennessee, the hate state, with the most laws against LGBTQ people, as Rob just documented. And they met with that progressive representative, Justin Jones. There they are in his office at the Capitol. He's the gun control advocate who got expelled for challenging the Republicans. And the town they went to perform in this year was Murfreesboro, that passed laws against drag in public places or in front of children. And they got this big, burly singer, a cisgender man, Bradford, there he is, who had a trans child. So they got him up in drag and they got him to perform, and powerful stuff. He embraces his trans child at the end, and it's quite moving.
Very much so. Very much. I'm so glad that show is back. So rollout of transgender bathroom laws has sowed confusion amongst Utah's public schools and their families. So according to state law, individuals are now mandated to utilize bathrooms in government-owned buildings that align with their sex assigned at birth.
And we did cover that story earlier in the show. So we are going to move on. And, we also talked about the Reverend Dr. Norman Cansfield a couple of weeks ago when we heard that he died, but we didn't give you many details. Mm. This is the guy who was defrocked by the Reformed Church for presiding over the wedding of his lesbian daughter. There she is, Ann Cansfield. And he has died at 83. He had risen to the esteemed rank of professor of theology in what was the Dutch Reformed Church, training its ministers. He was more than accepting of his daughter when she was to marry in 2004. He insisted on performing the ceremony in Massachusetts. He read from the book of Isaiah about a God who extends his love beyond Israel to cover foreigners and eunuchs. But his church clung to its definition of marriage as the union of one man and one woman, never mind what their God says. His synod put him on trial and found him guilty of failing to keep his ordination vows. He lost his status as a professor. He went on to teach at Drew University theology and served as a theologian at the Zion United Church of Christ, even after one of the churches wanted to invite him back. So, by the way, Ann Cansfield is herself a minister at Greenpoint Church in Brooklyn and a fire department chaplain. And her dad was proud of, he said he was proud of getting through her wedding service without tearing up. But after it, a lesbian couple approached him and said it was the first church service that they had felt part of in years. And at that point, Dr. Cansfield wept.
Oh, another passing news. Robbie Mickus has passed away at just 52 years old. So Robbie, a longtime state forest ranger renowned for her leadership in search and rescue operations, primarily in Alaska, fell 1,000 feet to her death. She was just 52 years old. Throughout her career, she searched tirelessly and rescued lost and injured climbers. At the age of 44, she came out as transgender. Rest in power.
Should we move to international news?
Yeah.
Well, it was nice to see the anti-trans prime minister of UK, Rishi Sunak's Conservative Party, get drubbed in the local elections last week, including Labour winning a by-election for a parliamentary seat in Blackpool by a 26-point swing Conservative to Labour. So this is Labour's in the centre there, Keir Starmer, who's on track to become the prime minister at the next election, which must be held no later than January 28th, but could be called at any time. And then the country's many ills will be on his plate. And in the London mayoral race, Labour's pro-LGBTQ Sadiq Khan won an unprecedented third term.
It's looking, talking to my British friends, I'm from Britain, that it could be a landslide, a complete washout for the Conservatives, who have been in power now for a very, very long time. So big changes coming potentially to Britain. When do you think they'll call the election, Andy? Sooner or later?
I have, you know.
I think it's going to be later.
I rely on you.
I think they're still trying to sit it out, hoping the tide can turn. But as you said, they can't hold out for very much longer. Also, to the passage of a harsh anti-LGBTQ law in Iraq has drawn diplomatic backlash around the world. So human rights organizations and diplomats have condemned a law that was quietly passed by Iraq's parliament that would impose severe prison sentences on gay and transgender individuals. A spokesperson for the US State Department has expressed concern, saying that this threatens the most at risk in Iraqi society. We should point out that while homosexuality remains taboo in that society, Iraq had not previously enacted a law explicitly criminalizing it. So backlash from diplomats and human rights organizations.
Well, with this, we fought a war for 20 years. In Kenya, the High Court ruled that anti-LGBTQ activists are now prohibited from calling for the murder of LGBTQ Kenyans. It's a temporary order while the court hears a case on whether city officials can allow anti-LGBTQ protests that encourage violence against us. There's a group called, this is their name, the Anti-LGBTQ Movement. At least they use most of the letters, that advocate the murder and or expulsion of LGBTQ people from Kenya. They use the Bible and the Quran to justify such killings. You know, same-sex relations there are punishable by 14 years in prison, but the decision from the High Court was hailed by human rights groups as a major win. Thank goodness for small favors.
Small favors. Hong Kong's transgender activists get ID cards reflecting their gender changes after years-long legal battles. So this has been going on a really long time. A transgender activist in Hong Kong, Henry T, has finally been successful in obtaining a new ID card reflecting his gender changes after a lengthy legal battle. Initially, he faced obstacles about his gender Marcus, because he had not undergone full gender affirmation surgery. This victory is regarded as a significant milestone for Hong Kong's LGBTQ community, finally.
Shall we go to Paris?
Let's see Paris.
We have a socialist mayor, Anne Hidalgo, and she's hitting back against those who are going after, she's having a famous drag queen, being one of the torchbearers when the Olympics come to town July 14th to 15th. But Hidalgo said, Paris is proud that a drag queen will carry the torch and values of peace and humanity. Now, this is Minima Jeste, who was also Arthur Reynaud by day and works at an engineering firm. Jeste said, I use my platform to send messages against LGBTQI phobia and the constraints of heteronormative society and patriarchy. When I'm in drag, people listen to me. And by the way, a reminder that May 17th is Idaho Bit, the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia, and will be marked all over the world. The theme this year is No One Left Behind.
A Norwegian citizen born in Oslo has been sent back from Pakistan after allegedly being involved in shooting of LGBTQ people. So a radical Norwegian citizen suspected in being involved in the deadly shooting of an LGBTQ festival in Oslo has been expelled from Pakistan and is en route back to Norway. The shooting resulted in the death of two individuals and the serious injuries of nine others at multiple locations. This individual has a long history associated with criminal gangs, but is now on their way back to Norway.
By the way, Tom Daley of the United Kingdom will be diving for Britain again. The first Brit to compete in five Olympics. He's only 29. His son wanted to see daddy diving in Paris.
Good for him.
In the UK. Let's talk about now. We talked already on this show about the Kevin Spacey documentary, Spacey Unmasked, where 10 men are going to tell their stories of abuse by him, ranging from Spacey in high school to the height of his acting fame. It's classic casting couch stuff, you know, like Harvey Weinstein demanding sexual favors for career advancement. The details, I almost don't want to read them. I mean, you know, but they're so grotesque, you know, going to a movie and pulling his thing out and saying, touch it, that kind of stuff. I mean, it's so coarse and awful. He's beaten all the raps against him so far. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a story about this that said, one interviewee saw Spacey viciously mocking two gay men in a bar. Another says when he rejected the actor's advances, what really riled Spacey up was the implication that he was homosexual. The impression given is of a man who spent his life raging with shame at what he is, with this anger manifesting as abuse. So this is going to be coming to the United States. It's already been shown in Britain.
Yeah, he's claiming now, too, that he planned to come out even before these accusations emerged. I'm not quite sure how truthful that is, but that's...
Well, he made jokes about it when he hosted the Tonys, but he didn't come out.
Right. Right. I know people, as a reporter, as somebody that's been doing this for a long time, I know people that have interviewed him, that have spent time with him, and they all said that he was a rather unpleasant gentleman who seemed to be so angry all the time. That doesn't seem like it has changed.
Well, I mean, I knew he was gay 30 years ago because he slept with one of my ex-partners, you know. But enough about him, except for the fact, as our director Rich informed us, Kevin Spacey has now endorsed his Bobby Kennedy Jr. for president, calling him a loyal friend who stood by him when others abandoned him in 2017 when Anthony Rapp's charges ended his career. We better get on to... I have a couple of AIDS notes. I want to leave enough time to do all this entertainment news. I'll just say President Biden has come around on marijuana legalization pretty much. They want to move it from a class one drug to a class three drug, so there'll be lower penalties and doctors will be able to prescribe it. And I also want to say there's a new report out from the CDC about at least my group, older people. STI rates are shooting through the roof. From 2012 to 2022, rates of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia have more than doubled for people 55 and older. And the thing is, for a lot of older people, it's like, well, if I'm a woman, I can't get pregnant, so I don't need to use protection. And if I'm a man, I don't want to put a condom on because I have trouble getting it up anyway. All these kinds of excuses, and the doctors don't talk to them about it, and they don't even think about it. But you better start protecting yourself.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Take us to the Met Gala.
Met Gala.
Rob, you were there.
Yeah, I was there last night as a reporter. I wasn't inside. I've been before, so in my old life, before I was a reporter, I was a publicist, and one of my clients was Jennifer Lopez. I worked for J-Lo for a little bit, and one year she went to the Met, and I went as her date. It's an extraordinary evening. She co-hosted the event last night, and what that means is you have to get there early before the guests arrive, and then when all the guests arrive, you stand by the front door and you greet them. That's really all the formal parties of the role of being a co-host. And so Jennifer was there last night, and a lot of LGBTQ people. Andy, who was your favorite? Who did you like what they were wearing?
Well, we have to start with Anne's favorite, Cola Scola. We got the pictures up. So let's just run through them quickly. Here are some of the LGBT people in all their finery. Cola Scola, who's starring in Oh Mary, that's coming to Broadway.
That's a big honor for Cole to be invited to this. I believe this is Cole's first year invited. He's really on the map now. Anna Wintour's daughter, Brie, loves theatre. And so Anna now has embraced theatre too. But every year she invites people from the theatre. And remember too, Monday traditionally is the night that shows are closed. So a lot of Broadway talent are available to turn up.
And then we ought to flip through these, relatively quickly. Coleman Domingo, of course, the honored actor.
Looking great. He said that the cape was in honor of Andre Leontali, the famous editor-at-large for Vogue, who's passed away, who was always spotted at this benefit in a cape.
Next, we have Lena Waithe.
That's great.
And then Jonathan Groff, who is starring on Broadway in Merrily We Roll Along, nominated for a Tony.
Yeah, probably the favorite to win Best Actor of the Year is what I'm hearing for his...
Bad Bunny.
Look at him.
Lil Nas X was back.
Yes.
Then Lily Gladstone, who was the Oscar-nominated actress. And then Sarah Paulson, who was nominated for Tony in Appropriate. And then Queen Latifah. There she is. And Christian Cowan and Sam Smith were together holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
Non-binary Jay Harrison Gee was, resplendent.
Wow.
As was Janelle Monáe in a subtler outfit. Well, subtler but sexy. And then Troy Sylvan and Ayo Edebiri also was there, among others. Right. I should say that it wasn't all fun and games. You know, there was a huge pro-Palestinian protest outside where of hundreds of people, and 27 people were arrested.
Yeah, the whole street was shut down for two blocks. And so that was going on. And they were also potentially a disruption last night from Condé Nast's union. Condé Nast is the publishing house behind Vogue. But just before the ball, the benefit, the gala started, they reached an agreement. So they didn't turn up. But there was a huge demonstration outside.
Okay. All right. Some other entertainment news.
Who else we have? George Santos is back. George Santos is back. Remember him, the congressman who had trouble with the truth. He's going to resurrect his drag persona for Cameo videos. So for $20, you can get George.
How many dollars?
20, Andy. I'm going to get you one for your birthday. $20 you get. I think it's a minute. He doesn't do more than...
Please, no.
A minute. So at the time, he claimed that this never happened when it was uncovered that he had wore drag in the past. At the time, he said that absolutely did not happen. Now, 18 years later, George Santos is embracing it.
Okay, there's a biopic in the works on Leonardo da Vinci from Universal, directed by Andrew Hay. He's the one on the left who just did All of Us Strangers. Did you saw that?
Must have loved it. Yeah.
Scott, yes. So it's online, they were suggesting it would be great to have Jonathan Bailey, a fellow Traveler's fame, play Da Vinci, who played Da Vinci in a BBC series, mm-hmm. play the young Da Vinci, but that's not been cast yet. It's based on Walter Isaacson's 2017 book on Da Vinci that says he lived his life as a gay man. Indeed, now I read this. Da Vinci was arrested for sodomy when he was 24 years old in 1476. Though the charges were dismissed for lack of evidence, homosexuality was common in the art world of his time, as it is in ours. There is even scholarship that says Da Vinci's model for the Mona Lisa was his male companion, Gian Giacomo Caprotti. That, I'd never heard that one.
I'd heard that before. I'd heard that mysterious smile was for a sly reason. The movie looks great. I can't wait for it to be fully cast. I love these historical movies. I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay. Ellen DeGeneres, she's now 66, and she's on her Ellen's Last Stand-Up tour. And she was ruminating during the tour about her departure from her show amidst reports of mistreatment of staff after 18 seasons. She said that she couldn't look at the news, did a lot of crying, and that her spouse of 16 years, Portia de Rossi, went through it with her and got her through it. But she ended her stand-up with, "I think we need more laughter and less drama." Well, good luck to us all.
Good luck to us all. I think he's going to be televised too. Netflix were there recording this. She's going to do it in a few more cities. And she got the biggest laugh when she announced that she'd been cancelled twice. If you remember, her TV show was cancelled when she came out. And then later, a couple...
She got one more season after she came out.
That's right. And then her talk show too lasted one more season after the accusations of her not being so nice. Dani Minogue, who's Kylie Minogue's younger sister, is setting the record straight on her sexuality after saying that she identifies as queer. So Dani recently provided a clarification after reportedly stating that she identified as queer. Initially, she's quoted as saying, quote, "I identify as queer in a weird way." However, she later took to Instagram to offer a clarification, explaining that the comments were in the context of fun and a light-hearted evening. She supports the queer community, and she said she will forever be an ally.
And how about that Billie Jean King?
The best.
She's now on one of those limited edition Wheaties boxes. So she didn't get her due in her prime. They didn't put her on a box then. There she is. She's got her thing. And congratulations, Billie Jean King. And Billie, don't sell out to the Saudis with the women's tennis tour, please.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Billie. I hope you're listening.
Don't do it.
John Leguizamo is getting into a little bit of heat from some comments about Patrick Swayze. If you remember, in 1995, they made Tu Wong Fu together. Recently, in an interview with Andy Cohen, Andy said to John, "I hear that everything about Patrick is just great. He was an angel." And John said, "No, not so much. He was really difficult when filming the movie. He even called him neurotic." Now Patrick's family is clapping back, claiming it was actually John that was a problem on that movie. But it's interesting, after all these years, now these stories are coming out. I think we'd heard at the time that there were some difficulties while shooting. Apparently, Patrick liked to stay to the script and John would like to ad-lib. And that was at the heart of what their tension was about.
But sometimes it makes for a better movie.
That's right. I love that movie.
Well, we've got two and a half minutes. What else you got?
Raymond Simone, who we know from The View and multiple other acting things, is slamming disgraceful trolls for sending death threats to her wife, Miranda. So Raven recently spoke out in support of her wife, Miranda, addressing online harassment and death threats. Raven denounced the disrespectful comments and threats aimed at her wife and said that we all need to just get along. It's so easy on social media behind your keyboard to say mean, terrible things, but Raven is having none of it and fighting back.
And I see your chyron there, Rob. Put it back up again, Rich. Rob Shooter, you do the Naughty But Nice podcast. How can people access your podcast?
Thank you, Andy. So for wherever you listen to your podcast, iHeartRadio gave me a morning show, 20 minutes every morning, Monday through Friday. I do a 20-minute podcast, all the celebrity headlines of the day, lots of fabulous queer news too. But wherever you listen to podcasts, Naughty But Nice with Rob, 5 days a week, lots of gossip.
And I follow you on Instagram, where what you put up on Instagram is not just photos of, like, you know, parties and neighborhood stuff. You put up your little gossip items.
Yeah, it's amazing, Andy. Websites seem to be a thing of the past now. And so a lot of websites, a lot of reporters like me are moving to Instagram, to social media. And so now if I see something, if I hear something, I put it up on my Instagram stories. So thank you for supporting that. The Naughty Gossip. The Naughty Gossip is my Instagram. Thank you.
Oh, please. And it's been great being with you. So how are you feeling? We have just under a minute. How are you feeling at this moment about where we are in this country?
It's heartbreaking. It's absolutely terrifying, Andy. I'm watching the news and I can't believe the race is so neck and neck. I'm hoping, I'm praying that it sways in one direction and another, but I've never seen a place where so many trials are going on and so much information, and yet the country seems to be split still down the middle.
Well, we are down to our last 20 seconds. It's been great to be with you after 2 weeks, and we'll be back next week by the grace of God and the will of the Holy Spirit, as we used to say when I was growing up. No, it'll be great to, and it's been great having you, and we thank you all for watching.
Thank you.